Good day, and welcome to the quarterly all-VR call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Rob Pfaff. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon and/or good morning to those of you who have joined us. We're thankful for your time and participation in today's quarterly VR call. I will open with two brief announcements and then turn it over to Jamie Pendergraft. First announcement is I wanted to give you a status on the Employment Summit summary report. I have mentioned this previously. I think in other calls I mentioned that this would probably be done around this time. We are very close. We're in the final stages of reviews and edits for the document, but we do project that this will be finished during the next few weeks and should be ready to be made available. We will notify you via Gov Delivery when the final document has been released to the public. The second item I wanted to talk about briefly was payment for pre-employment services. We are discussing internally, and when I say internally, not just within ORDES and the Office of Employment Support, but within the agency about the legalities of us making payment for pre-employment services. We've been asked about this from other VR agencies. We've had quite a bit of back and forth with our general counsel in this. We are still working on some logistics about this issue, and when we have something finalized that we can share with folks, we will certainly do so. We may engage with some VR agencies and request that we or that if you could send to us some examples of dollar amounts if you have this information available. Dollar amounts that SSA would have paid on cases that you submitted for cost reimbursement that would have included pre-employment services payments, some kind of estimate or ballpark amount that would have been received over a time frame, whether one or two or three fiscal years, that kind of information. But all of this is preliminary at this point. I want to emphasize that. If we get to that point, we will reach out. We will ask you for information or help or support that will help us figure this piece out. It's complicated, but I just wanted to let you know that we are we're working on these things currently. So without further delay, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Jamie Pendergraft from our ticket program manager. Jamie?
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much, Rob. My name is Jamie Pendergraft, and I'm the Director of Communications and Outreach for the Ticket Program Manager. This afternoon, I'm going to share a couple of different pieces of information with you, starting with an announcement about the Federal Communication Commission's Affordable Connectivity Program, or ACP. So what is the ACP? It's a Federal Communications Commission benefit program that helps ensure households can afford the broadband they need for work, school, health care, and more. This benefit provides a discount of up to $30 a month at service for eligible households and up to $75 per month for plans. These eligible households can also receive a one-time discount of up to $100 to purchase a laptop, a desktop computer, or tablet from participating providers if they contribute more than $10 and less than $50 toward the purchase price. The ACP is limited to one monthly service discount and one device discount per household. How do people become eligible, or how do we know if folks are eligible for the ACP? A household is eligible for the ACP if the household income is at or below 200% of the federal poverty guidelines, or if a member of the household meets at least one of several criteria, including receiving SSI. For a full list of these criteria, please visit fcc.gov/ACP. we are sharing this today to encourage you to familiarize yourselves with these programs so you can inform eligible ticket holders about the ACP. The FCC has an outreach toolkit you can use to share with your community. The toolkit includes a newsletter blurb, social media, graphics, and guidance on how to use these materials. That's also available at fcc.gov/ACP, along with more details about the Affordable Connectivity Program, how to use the outreach toolkit, and a bunch of different materials and resources that you can use to share information at the program about the program. Switching gears a little bit, I'm going to talk for a couple minutes about some of our ticket program outreach initiatives and activities. I wanted to share a little bit about what we do on a regular basis. It has been a very long time since I presented on this call, so I wanted to make sure that you're all aware of some of our ongoing activities, how you can participate or join with us and share our announcements and different resources, and how we can help you engage with some of our social media and other resources. So every month we host something called a Work Incentive Seminar Event or WISE Webinar, and these are online events designed to explain the ticket program and other work incentives. They are fully accessible learning opportunities, and they are typically on the fourth Wednesday of every month. Another regular outreach channel that we use is obviously social media. If your agency or you yourself don't follow us on social media, I encourage you to go to choosework.ssa.gov/contact, where you'll find a list of all of our social media accounts. We also publish a variety of success stories, fact sheets, and blog posts on our ChooseWork website, which is choosework.ssa.gov. And if you ever have any questions about how to use any of these resources or how to promote a webinar, you can feel free to contact us at socialmedia@choosework.ssa.gov, and we hope that you find that some of these tools are able to provide information to ticket holders on a large, broader scale so that you can then answer some more specific questions or provide case-by-case information as you meet with individuals. All of our resources serve as a way to get an introduction to the ticket program, and we're trying to help you all kind of get general information out as easily as possible. And at that time, I believe it is time to open up for questions. Paula, can you open it up, please?
Certainly. Thank you. To signal for a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Also, if you are using a speakerphone, please make sure that your mute button is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, it is star 1 at this time for questions, and we'll pause to give everyone the opportunity to signal. And first, we'll go to Eugenia with State of Oregon.
Hi, this is Eugenia from Oregon. Hey, Rob, you had mentioned pre-employment services. Are you meaning to say post-employment services? Because pre-employment services are direct services.
Eugenia, to my knowledge, it's pre-employment services. So I hope that helps. This is getting into an area that I admit I know much less than everyone on this call knows about. But does that help at all?
Well, we've got assessment services after they apply for services. So, and that's pre-plan. Then they sign the plan, and then they're getting direct services from us. And that's, when you say pre-employment, those are direct costs. Those are the services we actually provide them during their plan, during the services. Then they go into employment status, and then it's considered post-employment after that, and then closure. I mean, there's been questions about post-employment being after closure, and that's been talked about with RSA for clarification. But if it's the post-employment services, which actually in the SSA handbook talks about post-employment after closure, and RSA just clarified that that isn't the case. Post-employment services are between the employment status and the closure of the VR case. So I'm thinking that you're meaning post-employment services.
Post-employment services we do already pay for in our gross payment period. So we've been doing that. That's actually in our regulations that we pay for post-employment services. So a few years ago, and you were given a 15% to take off the top to deal with these issues, having to deal with youth and youth services and the homeless and so forth, those things having to do with the new information with WIOA. We then got questioned about that. Could you be reimbursed for that?
So you're talking about pre-eds, which is pre-education, all the money that we're spending before they even come into VR for services.
Yeah, so therefore, even before they've actually made SGA, so then that became an issue that can you have reimbursement for that?
Yeah, so I think the question is, we have to pay what's called pre-ETS, which is the pre-employment transition. But some of those people don't even come to VR for services. I think there probably needs to be a further conversation about this for clarification for everybody, because we're supposed to be spending 15% of our grant dollars on students that may not even come into VR services, but we are having to help everybody throughout the state. So I think, like I said, we probably need to have further conversation on the whole pre-ETS concept, which isn't part of pre-employment with any cases that we have. That's not, I don't think that that's the question. It has to do with the youth transition. So, I mean, maybe it would be a good idea for everybody to get together and talk about this just for clarifying the expenditure. I didn't know that anybody was even thinking about paying us for those services.
So thank you, Shada. And
I'm sorry, Rob. So yes, we have had several VRs to ask about this and Webull and other things. So that's where the conversation
started. Oh, cool. Okay.
Yep, and it gets complicated, and I don't want to take us down what would be, I'm sure, an interesting conversation about all the ins and outs of this, but we'll circle back. You know, to get more information from VRs, and we'll certainly touch base, Eugenia, when we're ready to do so. I think at this point we're trying to figure all of the ins and outs of this, and it gets pretty complicated. So,
yeah, and we keep all those stats on the pre-EDS dollars because we have to report it to RSA. So, yeah, I mean, those would be easy numbers to come up with if you needed them.
Thank you.
And once again, star one for any questions. Again, we'll pause for just a moment. And next we'll go to David with Vaders.
Hi, thanks. Just real quick on that idea of the Prius stuff. I know at least in Virginia, we have many cases that are pre-ETS but are receiving pre-ETS services prior to 18, and that in many cases they have converted to a VR plan prior to 18. So it's exciting, and I know we're going to start looking at how we can try to quantify what those are for you. Thank you very much.
And it appears there are no questions or comments at this time.
Thanks again, Jamie.
Thank you. I believe I hand it back over to Katie.
Yes, thank you.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. This is Katie Streibinger. I have a few items, and I'm just going to kind of go through them. And then at the very end of the call, we'll have Q&A. So if you have questions, please just hold them to after I talk. So the first item is the backlog status. We are processing claims from January of 2022. The status of the current FY22 cost formula, I know we have any questions, and I'm sure you're all wondering where we are with that since we haven't sent out anything for you yet. We are still working on this internally, and there are not going to be any timely filing claim denials based on the fact that we don't have it ready for you. And if you have submitted any claims that would be affected by this, we are just holding them. So please just continue to hold on, and we will, you know, provide you with the information when we are ready with it. But we do not have any updates for you at this point. So please just keep hanging in there. We are working on it. We did have a question about TPM reaching out about ticket unassignments. When beneficiaries call the ticket helpline to request a ticket unassignment, both TPM and SSA do everything they can to assist the ticket holder. The current process is that TPM encourages the ticket holder to reach out to the state VR agency first to resolve the ticket on assignment. If the ticket holder is unsuccessful, TPM does reach out to check on the status and will then reach out to the VR agency before assigning the ticket. Recently, we have seen an increase on the number of beneficiary requested ticket on assignments we've received. So we do plan to fine-tune this process, and we will be reaching out to VR agencies later this month requesting some feedback so we can work on a better business process. You know, it used to be here and there. We'd request, you know, one here, one there, and we would kind of, you know, on an ad hoc basis deal with each ticket holder. But we are getting the impression, based on things that have been occurring recently, that we need to come up with a, you know, a clear business process so that everyone involved knows the steps that we're going to follow to help out with our ticket holders. So you look out for an email from us later this month. This is a reminder that a BLAT, and this is about, excuse me, the unique entity identifier. This is just a reminder that a BLAT went out on both March 8th and March 29th, announcing the transition of federal agencies from the DUNS number to the unique entity identifier, which is the UEI for VR payments. Effective April 4th, SSA started using the new UEI number to pay state VR agencies. And as was last mentioned, SSA will continue to use that DUNS number for reference and identification purposes. So you will see this number in the ticket portal. You are not going to see your UEI listed anywhere unless you go look for it on your EN directory information in the portal. This is something we are just storing internally to be able to pay you correctly. But because the number is just not, you know, it's easy to remember as that 9-digit number, we're going to continue to use the DUNS number for reference purposes. If you have any questions, I would say go back to look at those blasts first. That does identify the process where you can go to find your UEI and any questions you might have. And then the final item is another reminder from another blast we sent out. On March 10th, we announced the end of the extension period for expired diaries. Starting this Monday, May 16th, SSA will begin denying cases that have been in diary for more than 30 days where we have not received the requested additional information from VR agencies. These claims will be denied using code 650. You will not receive an email reminder that you have something that's more than 30 days old. So starting Monday, we will begin denying cases. So please, you know, the next couple days, go look in the portal, go see what we have that's awaiting your attention, and please get us that documentation in. If there is something that you know you have it and you can't get it by Monday, please do, you know, reach out to us, and we can work with you on those handful of cases maybe. But, you know, overall, we are not looking to give anybody any more extensions. You know, we are done giving extension period for expired diaries. And that's all I have. And like I said, I'll be here at the end for any questions anyone may have. And I'm going to hand it over to Raquel.
Thank you, Katie. Good afternoon, everyone. And just to piggyback off of what Katie was just saying about the claims placed in diary, if anyone has any questions, sometimes the notes that are left by the technicians may be a little off or confusing. So please feel free to email me at the VR Help Desk. If you have any questions in regards to the diary, if you can't get into the office, things like that, email the help desk and we will try to work with you. But like Katie was saying, the policy went out and we have things that have been placed in diary since 2019, 2020. So we're definitely looking to get all of that cleaned up. Next topic is the triennial review. So I received a great question in regards to the new SSA triennial assessment process. And I think the question came as a result of a recent annual security reminder from the SSA Data Exchange Coordinators, DEC. They sent to you all the state agencies, the data exchange partners, noting the new assessment process. If you have any questions about this, want to follow up, then please feel free to email me if you do not know who your DEC is, which is your data exchange coordinator. This is the person that you speak with. Any questions regarding to the state verification employment, SVES, anything like that, email the help desk and I will provide you with who your contact is and you can ask any questions you want to in regards to the triennial review. And lastly, just a quick reminder in regards to the 590 denials. So we've created the policy, as you all, most of you know. We're just trying to hold the VRs accountable for submitting legitimate claims where the beneficiary actually has the required 9 out of 12 months or 3 out of 4 quarters of earnings that meet SGA and or blind SGA. Not and, or. For some of you, there's always a question of whether the person is actually blind. If you have those questions, please feel free to email me at the VR Help Desk in regards to that. So sometimes you're looking for blind SGA and you don't know it, so you're submitting the claim with regular SGA and it gets the 590 denial. So if we can stop that early, we'll do so. Also, on the remarks tab, if there are no remarks on the remarks tab, comments in regards to whether you're using Bursar or you actually have the wages showing, then you will be denied the 590 as well. So we're looking for one or the other. One step further with Bursar, even if you're putting the remark Bursar, we're going to look just to make sure that Bursar is actually showing 3 out of the 4 quarters of earnings as well. So those are the reminders that I have for you. Again, any questions? Everyone knows how to reach me at the VR Help Desk. And at this time, we're going to go ahead and open it up for any Q&A.
Thank you. And once again, it is star one at this time for questions. As a quick reminder, please make sure your mute button is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. And once again, star one for any questions or comments. And we'll go to Kim with Illinois Department of Rehabilitation Services.
Hi. I have a couple questions, actually. I've got a couple of these where a claim was denied because it says an EN payment was received for the same beneficiary, like back in 2010. I'm just looking at one of them right now. And so it's saying if they can't receive a payment for the same beneficiary on both programs. But then I thought it was if we assigned a ticket as cost reimbursement, then we could not and we're paid on that. Or I don't know if we even have to be paid on. But if we assigned it as cost reimbursement initially, like the first time we held the ticket, the next time it would have to be cost of reimbursement also. But if a ticket was signed as an EN ticket, that we would be able to list that as cost reimbursement. And I've got a couple of these denials on that, and I guess I'm just kind of confused as to the procedure on that.
This is Kate. Can you repeat the scenario one more time for me, please, to make sure I understand it?
Yeah, we've got a couple denials. Like if we held a ticket for a customer initially one time as an EN ticket, And then the next time, like this is, you know, 12 years later, we've got a ticket, new IPE and everything. Every time we open a new case, it's a new IPE, but it was denied because it said that an EN payment was received for this same beneficiary back in 2010. So I'm not, but then later on in the email, she had told me that if there is a new IPE, then we could list it as cost reimbursement. Anytime we open a new case, we're assigning a new IPE. So I'm confused as to her response.
Sure.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I just want to make sure we make a distinction here, right? There's the idea of a ticket, right? That there's a beneficiary can get more than one ticket. It is possible. It does happen, right? And
uh-huh.
Under one single ticket, right, there are rules about how the payments work. You, in your example, you were talking about IPEs. Just because you have a new IPE doesn't mean you have a new ticket. So perhaps, you know, you may need to reach out to the help desk for that, you know, the specific example, because, you know, without that in front of me, I can't tell you, right, looking at the record. But it sounds to me like you're requesting a payment for the same ticket. You may have a new IPE, but it's the same ticket. And if you already got paid under an EN program for that ticket, that's the only choice you have for that same ticket, unless the beneficiary got a new ticket. So I would encourage you in that example to reach back out with that specific example. Without having this, you know, without it in front of me, I can't really give you the best answer. But I can give you a distinction between IPEs and tickets.
Yeah, because I thought, I mean, we always have to, we unassign any prior tickets. Like if we had, you know, say we had a ticket back in 2010 with this beneficiary. Before we could assign the new one, because if I try to assign it, you know, via the portal, when I try to assign the new one, it'll come back with a rejection error saying the ticket is already assigned to us. So we go in, we usually unassign the first ticket, the prior ticket. So the ticket would have been unassigned, but then we're assigning a new ticket, but we're assigning it as cost reimbursement. So,
Shauna Dixon.
Hi, Shauna.
And how you doing? And I believe I sent you the response. If this is the same case,
yeah.
I'm not 100% sure,
yeah.
Right? And I wish you would have reached back out to me if you didn't, you know, fully understand, and we could have gone over it in more detail. But for your specific case, this was the same ticket, same IPE. So you didn't have a situation, but if you would like to talk about this and, you know, further, I would definitely go over this with you again so that you can get a better understanding. But it, you know, your situation for the case that you submitted, the payment request that you submitted, you weren't eligible for the payment because that beneficiary had already received an EN payment for the same IPE on the same ticket. And you can't receive a payment for both programs.
Okay. I think that's what's confusing me because, that, like I said, I'll have to go back in and look at that one, but usually before we can even assign another ticket, we have to unassign the first one. So that's what's confusing me. I'll have to go back into that particular person and see the situation. But yeah, I think we kind of went back and forth a little bit, and then I was going back and forth with my supervisor, and he thought it was the cost reimbursement. To if it's cost reimbursement, then you couldn't assign a ticket. I said, yeah, but this one's in reverse. It was ticket and then cost reimbursement. So
I sent the policy, the most current policy, so that, you know, you could see exactly why it was written that way and what happened and the whole situation when that decision occurred. But we can definitely go through this again. You know, just email me and let me know when you're available. And if we need to pull
through,
then we can do that as well. Okay.
Okay. And all right, I had one other question, not in regard to that. Is there anything further, or have we heard anything further on the cost formula when that will be when we'll be hearing anything on that. I don't know who that
is. This is Katie. So we don't have anything for you yet. We're working on it internally, and we will send something out as soon as we have it ready.
Okay. All right. Great. Thank you.
And once again, star one for any questions or comments. And we'll return to Eugenia with State of Oregon.
Hello. I just wanted to thank the TPM for trying to come up with a procedure for unassigning tickets with the state VR agencies, because, you know, the confusion was is we would get these phone calls from people we didn't know and just asking us to unassign a ticket. And we're really, you know, we're really sensitive about talking to anybody about any clients. So I suggested that maybe somebody send an email from the TPM to let us know that the call is coming, just any pre-warning. But I do want to thank you for coming up with a procedure for this, because, like I said, we're very cautious with the state VR agencies on that kind of thing. And also, too, to answer the last lady's question, I'm not sure what state it is. I do a training on cost reimbursement, and we talk about the ticket. But if you – and it really comes down to if you assign a ticket cost reimbursement 20 years ago and then you don't get paid on it, you can assign the ticket under ticket now, and vice versa. If you assigned a ticket 20 years ago with a ticket – and you didn't get paid on it, you can change back to cost reimbursement. But if you picked a payment, ticket or cost reimbursement, and you actually got paid on it, you have to stick with that payment type. And that's that applies to either cost reimbursement or ticket. And correct me if I'm wrong, anybody from SSA, but that is the rule, as far as I've known for the last 16 years, if you get paid on any of the payment systems to start with, that is your payment system from then forward. At least with, like she had mentioned, if they get a new ticket, then it's a whole new ball game at that point. Does that sound correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Yes, that's correct. So it's indeed. Yeah, you have to stick with it once you get the whole thing happens. If you get paid on it, that's what you have to stick with. Thank you.
And next we'll hear from Hannah with State of Wisconsin Vocational Rehab.
Hi. I just had a question. When you were talking about making sure that there is something in the remarks box, we've had quite a few claims come back as denied, saying that there wasn't proper wage documentation. But in the remarks box, we had listed the UI wage information. Does that need to be faxed in separately in order to get approved?
Hi, Hannah. This is Raquel. No, it doesn't. If you find that that's happening to you, email me at the VR Help Desk. Just provide me with the claim information, and I'll be more than happy to go through and review those for you.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And once again, it is star one for questions or comments. Next, we'll go to Kristen with New Hampshire Vocational Rehabilitation.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you very much. If we could just circle back around to the diary entries, two-part question. First, can you remind us of how we receive that notification? Is it an email or is it U.S. mail? And then if we wanted to go in and check ours to see if we had any entries, would we be only looking at our pending payments in, like, that column of, like, if there's a diary entry, or is there something further I should be looking at?
This is Katie. Right, you should be looking at your pending payments in the ticket portal.
Okay,
and then there's there's an option of select cases that are in diary, right? So you want to select those cases. And it will actually give you dates. So you should know how old something is from there. And then the diary should have a comment of what is missing or what we need. And if you do have any questions about a specific case, you can reach out to the VHR help desk.
Perfect. Thank you. And then can you remind me for future, if we get notifications, it's U.S. mail that we get that notification through that something is needed, correct? It's not email?
No, it's not email.
Thank you.
And a final reminder, star one for questions or comments. We'll pause for just a moment. And next we'll go to Shelley, Minnesota VRS.
Hello, everyone. My question is about the diary, and I have, I believe, a couple of them in there that are diaried because they're waiting for the cost formula to come through. So if they hit that 30 days, is someone going to be able to reset that so that they're not deleted or removed and they're in the diary?
Hi, Shelley. It's Raquel. Katie, did you want to go? I'm sorry.
I was going to say, Raquel, you can give her even more information. You go ahead.
Hi, Shelley. So anything that's placed in diary, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Anything that's placed in diary never, ever gets deleted. In regards to the cost formula, the technician or the analyst will go in once the diary expires and just update it. So anything.
Perfect.
As Katie
Thank
mentioned,
you.
You're welcome. As Katie mentioned earlier, anything dealing with the cost formula, you don't have to worry about because we know what's going on with that, and no VR will receive untimely filing for those, unless the year just happens to be, the SDA period just happens to be years ago. That's the only way.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We'll return with Eugenia, State of Oregon.
Hello. Raquel may have already mentioned this, but when I go in there, going back to diaries, when I go in there to look, sometimes there's nothing under the comments, and I have to email her to find out what it is, because if I waited for the actual paper document to come to let me know, it's a couple of weeks before we see it, and now that the deadline is in place again, you know, we're losing time. So is there any way that, because I know sometimes the diary isn't a request from the VR agency to get information. Sometimes it's just notes and stuff. Is there any way that you know, can be like standard that we know what is, you know, comments and if something is required, why can't we see it in the comments, like a justification or a TPR or something like that? Prepayment validation audit. Is Raquel, any suggestions? Or?
Yeah, that's actually something we are working on now. Katie has a report that she does now that comes out daily for us to review the diaries and see what comments and notes are being placed in there. Now that we have the contractors working on the claims, it's something new for them. So, and we're discovering when I get a ton of emails from the VR help desk that a lot of stuff is confusing to the VRs. But again, if there's anything that you have questions on, like you, Eugenia, you'll reach out to me and ask me about it.
Mm-hmm.
The sooner the better for everyone. Okay. You know, no one should be waiting last minute anyway. Everyone should be reviewing their pending list once a day, once a week, you know, so I can get the information back to you as soon as possible. If there's something that's missing, if there's something that you don't understand, if you think it's internal, you know, that's what the VR help desk is here for.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And this is Katie. I do want to chime in. So, you know, a lot of the diaries, there are several reasons to pick a diary. And the screen in the portal should actually indicate, right, request justification for late filing, request explanation for long SGA period, right? They, on the screen, you should see something like that. that should lead you to the reason we diaried. The only diaries we're having a little bit of a sticky point with right now because of the transition is the diary for other SDR information. That is the only diary when we select it, it doesn't trigger a notice. So we've been using that for internal purposes. And like Raquel mentioned, we've been trying to clean those up so it isn't confusing that we aren't typing something in there, because you're doing your due diligence, right, checking those things in diaries. And it says other SDR information, so you think, oh, that's something that needs my attention. We are working on getting another diary reason in there that makes it very clear that there is nothing you need to do. We diaried it for internal purposes, but there is nothing you need to do. We are working on coming out with that in the next month or so, so that you can feel confident that you've checked it, you've done your due diligence. But the things that, you know, require your attention should say things like request, you know, information for direct other costs, and that will come with a notice. So you should be able to tell by the, you know, if you go and check the actual diary information in the portal, you should see that at least, and that should let you know that, yeah, that case was diaried and a notice was sent to you, and you at least know the subject of, you know, what we're looking for, if not the specific details. So we are trying to, you know, work out a process that works for everybody. So thank you for your patience with that. And like Raquel said, we are trying to clean everything up so that you don't see things that are confusing in the comments, because we realize that's creating a problem where you see something that you don't understand. So we started not putting anything in there, right? We're leaving it blank, so at least you're not confused. And I can see how that's then creating confusion. Well, it's blank. What do I do now? So perhaps we'll come up with some other language, maybe something like, you know, no action needed by VR or something in the comments, so that you know that there is nothing you need to do and it's all in us. So we're going to work on tightening that up so we can all have clarity in our communications. But like Raquel said, if you ever have any questions, please do reach out to the VR help desk and we can make sure we clarify everything for you.
And we do have a follow-up from David with Baders.
I got to remember next time to put our whole name in there. That just sounds weird. Katie, my follow-up was really, I don't know if this is possible, but if there would be a way that we could know from that main part of the portal if the diary entries were for VR or if they were internal, I think that would be a really helpful tool rather than having to go into each case and then get confused. I don't know if that's possible, but that was really my question. Is there a way to delineate or separate those out?
I will put that on the wish list right now. The diaries kind of act the same way EM payments do. You know, something goes in the diary and you have to check. I can definitely put it on the wish list. For thinking through how that might look for something eventually in the portal. I can definitely see the use for it.
Okay. So again, just as we're talking through this, I know it's come up here at times, and, you know, it might help aid in both sides in terms of minimizing confusion. That's all. Thank you for considering it.
Oh, no, if we could, if I could make changes on the portal the second I think of an idea, we would, we definitely try on this part, you know, to come up with solutions that we can effectuate as quickly as possible. So, you know, we'll go back. We're still trying to think of ways to make this diary process clearer for everyone. But yeah, you know, our ultimate goal would be to make an enhancement and something that, you know, things your attention. Ideally, the portal would show you something, right, that needed your attention as soon as you went in. You know, ideally, the portal would go, hey, I need to do this today. We'll get there eventually.
Yeah, that would actually, that would be great if in that notification section when we log in, how great would that be if, Virginia, you need to address these four things.
Yep, I agree. I know I definitely have some ideas for things that I wish I could do. Like I said, we have a long, wonderful wish list, and you know, we would like to make this more efficient for everyone. So,
yeah. Great. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for your partnership. I appreciate it.
And once again, star one for any questions or comments. We do have a follow-up from Shelley with Minnesota VRS.
I got a little button happy. That was not a call. Sorry.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. And as a final reminder, star one at this time for any questions or comments. And it appears there are no further questions or comments at this time. I'll turn it back to our presenters.
Thank you. Just want to thank everyone for taking the time out for attending the call or calling in. A quick reminder that our next call, we're back on schedule, so it will be in July. It will be Tuesday, July 12th at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So look for the agenda, the email that you normally receive about a week beforehand. And that's all we have. Thank you for your time. Have a good one.
Thank you. And once again, that does conclude today's call. We'd like to thank everyone for their participation. You may now disconnect.